This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Let's go ahead and talk to Jerry Jones right now. Jerry Jones brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Corey and Kevin. Good to be on with you.
We appreciate it. Hey, I guess the first thing we have to ask is, has the cat been secured by the Dallas Cowboys organization?
Hey, I just read a little note that they're trying to find that cat in that big stadium. But we've got him hit out up there. He's only going to come out for Cowboy games.
Nice. Okay. Is it all Cowboys games or just the really clutch ones?
You got to have good cat communication to be a effective in the NFL today.
And that sounds straight out of Garrett's playbook, the way you just said that. I like that statement. I like that. So we're hoping or curious. I know the national spotlight is always on the Cowboys, but does it feel any more special when you get that national primetime spot all to yourself?
I think we all are excited and get a certain level of feel good when we know we have a lot of fans all over the country looking at us. And so I know I've always thought that, for instance, the same philosophy at training camp, I've always thought that the guys competed with more intensity. The competition was better when we had big crowds watching the mundane drills of practice with a big crowd, and I think that does carry over. The bigger the audience, the better you feel about going out there and not making mistakes and doing your best.
The opposing coach that you're going to see on the sideline on Sunday night was once with the Dallas Cowboys and Mike Zimmer, and this is a man that switched from a 4-3 to a 3-4 for Bill Parcells, and then even recently said, hey, if the eye surgery doesn't work, just take the eye out. Is Mike Zimmer one of the toughest men you've ever met?
Yeah, I love his mentality like that. It fits football very well. When I first met Mike, when he joined under Dave Campo, Dave was our defensive coordinator at the time, but I also right about the same time met his father, and they are two peas in a pod. They remind you of each other so much. His dad was a football coach, and you just immediately felt good that you were around a football guy. And, of course, the real test comes when the players respect him, if you will. They want to please him as a coach. And he barks at them. He's pretty hard on them. But when you see that reciprocation and a respect, if you will, love, nobody thinks more of anybody than Deion Sanders thinks of Mike Zimmer. Well, when you see players doing that, your people you work with doing that, then you know there's something very special inside the person they're doing it with, and that's the case with Mike Zimmer.
Is it at all possible that the only person Deion admires more than Mike Zimmer is Deion?
Well, no. I think that Deion has always had a prideful aspect to him. And, for instance, Deion would not really excel in the weight room. Or he really felt, or you made you feel like, that he wanted you to feel that his skills were more natural. Yet, when he went home, he had one of the most complete gyms you've ever seen, and had a work regime that was second to none. So Deion works real hard to make it look real easy. That's part of his, and I'm going to go that far, that's part of his genius. But make no mistake about it, there have been very few people play sports with the kind of skill set that Deion Sanders had.
Now, Jerry, whenever you look at the quarterback position in this game and you look at each side of the field for this, Kirk Cousins, fourth-round pick, Dak Prescott, fourth-round pick, do you see similarities in what their game is, or do you say, you know what, these guys are two completely different peas in the pod?
I don't know him as well, obviously, as I know Dak. And I know what makes Dak really initially easy to see and easy to stand out, and that's his leadership. And now you can't lead unless you can do it, and Dak can do it. But if he's the leader that Dak Prescott is, then he's really, again, he needs to go up a notch because Dak just commands the area that he's in. And I haven't necessarily one way or the other heard that about Cousins.
When you're looking at a player, maybe quarterback, running back, whatever, and it's time to become top five or the highest paid player at their position, is it just stats or is it something you see with your Jerry eye that makes you decide how they get paid that kind of money? How does that get decided for you?
Well, of course, at the end of the day, the bottom line is to win the game. And that's where your judgment really comes in. Does this guy give you the best chance to win? And that doesn't always meet the eye test, but it sure does meet the actual practice test. And I don't mean just practice like practicing. I mean, do they win? Do they do winning things in places where they are counted on the most? And so that then goes from not only playing a team position like quarterback, but actually have they contributed to those successful plays directly. Dak checks all those boxes.
Now, I was curious, particularly when it comes to Amari Cooper. I know he said yesterday that his knee is manageable, and I know he's the kind of person who wants to go out there and play. How do you kind of balance what the player tells you versus like maybe what the MRI tells you or what the coaching staff or training staff tells you when somebody really wants to get on the field?
Well, his MRI or his assessment of where he is right now would give him a total clean bill of health if we were drafting him tonight or if we were signing him tonight. And so let's get that straight, that manageable, I'm sure he's referring to his ability to execute at the level that he does. Now, nobody puts any more torque, nobody puts any more pressure on ligaments or his body than Cooper does in terms of the velocity that he's moving around out there with. So that's a big statement when he says it's workable.
And then it's same, I don't know if you have any updates for us on Leighton Vander Esch, because obviously Cowboys Nation is excited to see him back out on the field again. Do you think we'll see it Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I do. And he's practicing, and he's feeling better. And no one has been chomping at the bits anymore and anxious to get back out there than he does. And, you know, I've reviewed, as many have, reviewed the play that he got his had to have his situation or his injury occurred. And I don't know when I've seen any more awkward position to have pressure or to have weight or to have a lick done than the way his body was when he got it. And so I don't look for him to be getting in those kind of spots very often.
Over the years, have you ever had to sit down with a player who's like, I'm ready to get back on the field, and you had to kind of sit down with him and go, I know that you want to play, but all of the information we have says that you should not play this week?
Yeah, I don't know of any that have not wanted to get back out there. I will never forget the experience I had with Jason Witten when they were looking for the clearance from any doctor that would clear him to play with his lacerated spleen. And I'll never forget when we were visiting with the doctors that were finally involved that cleared him. And I'll never forget that experience. But he basically, when I asked, well, how much does this game mean to you, Saturday? And he said, well, it means everything. It could be the last time I could ever be on the field. They're all like that. Mm, wow. Is what he said. And so the doctor said, well, I'm going to clear you because he said, I think your risk is certainly acceptable there. And, of course, we're talking about a guy that took you weren't supposed to be back out there for 6 weeks, and he had been out two and was back out there with a lacerated spleen.
That's legendary type stuff right there. Wow. Jerry, Michael Bennett was, I thought he had great push in the middle, something that this team was kind of missing early on in the season. I am curious, though, would you have gone after a Michael Bennett type player if Tyrone Crawford had not been injured?
Yes. It was unique. His skill set was certainly one that Bill Belichick and the Patriots thought highly of because they signed him from Philadelphia in the offseason as a free agent. But as it turns out, Bill's doing a lot with linebackers and a lot with stand-up guys, is a better way of saying it, probably. And his statement was, look, we just had the numbers with us for linebackers, and that's the way we're playing defense. And Michael's just not getting out there as much as he wants to and to be content. So it was an opportunity for us, and we took it. But, listen, he's well-established as to what he brings, and he's well-established with his production, both at Seattle as well as Philadelphia.
Hey, Jerry, sources are saying that Deion Sanders is becoming a candidate for the Florida State head coaching job. I just wanted to get your thoughts on him as a football coach. How do you think he'd be?
Oh, I've actually watched him coach. I've watched him work with younger players in the pros, and he's outstanding. He has all the credibility that you could ever imagine, both from knowing what he's talking about, plus as the sensitivity or the perception that he has with people skills. He's really good, and he generates excitement. And so that with that energy package that he's got, along with his I would say his understanding of how to maximize your talent, which he did. He had the, as I mentioned earlier, that great talent package. But boy, he got a lot out of it, and consequently, and played to it. And I think he can coach that. He'll be a great coach.
What, if anything, can you tell us about the Daniel Ross situation? And from a broader perspective, do you get disappointed, frustrated? What's the emotion when arrests or things of that nature happen to players in your franchise?
Yeah. Other than the report, I have no information. I've not talked directly to Daniel. And so I don't have any more information to add to that.
Okay. And from a broader perspective, I'm curious, like, do you sit down personally with these players, or like, what happens when a player runs into just legal trouble in general? How does that have to get handled with you guys?
Well, you have, we probably have actively relationships out there right now with over 100 players, and just picture 100 people at any makeup anywhere in our society, and you're going to have things that come up, and certainly things that involve driving or things that involve many other areas, both health as well as illegal. And so that's just part of it. It goes on every day. I have a red phone by my bed, and it rings.
Oh, like Batman? That's amazing.
Wow. Yes, it does. All right.
Thank you so much, Jerry. And we're going to need to talk more about that red phone at some point in the future. That sounds amazing.
Got to get that number.
Well, you don't. You don't want. Well, I take that back. As fast and mean as you guys are, you probably wouldn't be on that phone very often. But, if you're fast enough and mean enough, you can have your place with a number on that phone.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
It's Jerry Jones, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.